You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Thursday morning. Well, a slight change. Well, not slight, pretty significant change to the guest lineup this morning. We will postpone April Marie Fogel after spending the last few minutes talking about her on the program. But joining us now on the line, I guess previously scheduled, but we're always appreciative of his time, the Republican nominee for United States Senate, also currently the congressman for the 1st Congressional District, Barry Moore, joins us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, we are doing good. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, glad you could come on. Well, we'll start here, just kind of generally speaking. I mean, you know, it's we're transitioning from Capitol Hill and the ongoings there into the election cycle. You're in pretty good shape as far as I can tell, but kind of looking back at this last round of happenings, I guess, head into the midterms on Capitol Hill. What's your assessment?
Well, I think obviously we're in a good spot. As the Senate nominee in Alabama, of course, you always run through the tape and try not to pull a hamstring before the finish line. So we're about 3 months away, but we're doing what we can to get around the state. I was in Birmingham yesterday, Huntsville today. I'll be in Mobile next week. And so just staying out in front of the folks, continuing to hear what the needs are, the concerns are as we go into the midterms. Certainly, it's important to maintain the Senate as Republicans and to do what we can to help people around the country win their races. And, you know, again, the House is going to be close. We know that. We've got to work very hard. We have a slim majority. It'd be great to keep it. Midterms are always tough on the president that's in office. So doing a lot of work, try to help folks around the country win their races as well. Stay in front of the people in Alabama, let them know what we're working on.
Well, and, you know, there's such this outsized focus on what's going on the Democrat side right now, especially with this last round of elections on Tuesday. And, there's sort of a lot of weird things happening on the Democrat side. But what is the Republican outlook? I mean, it seems like a lot of what's going on sort of strategically is to try to point out, hey, you don't want this socialist wave to sort of enveloping the Democratic Party. You need to look and consider your options here, at least, you know, look at the Republicans and keeping us in place beyond the midterms.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, obviously, I mean, there are issues that are always, you know, front and center in races, just the normal midterm races, whether with us, it's inflation. How do we handle the wages, the taxes, energy, immigration, crime, those things. But there's something different that's going on in the Democratic Party that I think a lot of people, blue collar workers who historically may have been Democrat leaning in some of these blue states, I think the shift to the hard left, this communist socialist, it's like the Democratic Party has lost control, really, of the narrative. And they've got, I honestly, a friend of mine who's a Democrat from North Carolina, she's pretty reasonable, I would think. She's, you know, she seems reasonable for most of the Democrats that we deal with. In the primary, AOC and Bernie Sanders came down and campaigned against her. And so it's so odd to me because she's been in D.C., I think, maybe for 8 to 12 years now, quite a while. And she's been, she doesn't vote with us, but she's been reasonable on some issues that we could talk about. And here AOC and Bernie Sanders are doing this tour around the country to take out any common sense, even kind of moderate, what we would call moderate, you and I might not, but what the party in general would call moderate, they're trying to take them out. And so I think the voters are starting to look at that and go, wait a minute, this is really, really, I mean, we fought communism, we fought socialism, you know, around the globe in many places to make sure that people could remain free. And here we are in our own country now. We have leaders within the Democratic Party pushing for this hard left agenda. And so the Democrats have issues. And I think that does help us in the midterms, Jeff.
Well, the nightmare scenario, though, would be, you know, that somehow they start winning elections. And then I feel like Republicans need to be on the balls of their feet to combat a lot of this, because there really is something going on in Democrat circles. I think that the Democrat Party as an institution has held this back for way too long, that they never, they would pay lip service to it, that they in some ways encouraged it with never having any intentions of ever enacting any of this stuff. But now here we are. It's 2026. They've been putting this off for a long time, talking about these ideas, these, you know, socializing a lot of aspects of our lives and have the government, would effectively be communism to some degree. You know, you can't help but wonder, well, what if you start having some of these candidates get elected and this is what they want to do with the country?
Yeah, and I think there are a few that are already in D.C., but I agree with that. I think that they gave lip service to this, you know, big government, big brother, you know, no private property, there is no God kind of stuff. And now they've kind of played along, but the old saying is the camel got his nose under the tent in the party. And now I think the party itself has problems. And you know, I was talking to an individual last night at a meeting we were in on defense and command here in Huntsville. And, you know, he himself thought that the fundraising, if you look at the numbers for the Democratic Party, has fallen off dramatically, and the Republicans are doing far better. And so, and to Trump's credit, he's been able to get some of the union support, a lot of the blue collar. He's kind of changed the Republican Party in some ways, but I think for the better. People who are maybe not socially as conservative as we are, but they certainly understand that they want capitalism, they want free markets, and they want opportunities. And so, you know, we're seeing the fundraising numbers dry up, I think, for the Dems. I think that within the party, there's going to be a fight over those funds and where they allocate those for certain races. But you're right, Jeff. I mean, we got problems. They got problems. And as a country, we've got problems with socialist and communist people who are openly against our Christian values and our faith are being elected. It's going to be trying times in D.C. if those people get elected. It's going to be an additional issue for us to govern, if that makes sense.
Congressman, I mean, just my perception of things is I think so much of this election is going to come down to quote-unquote affordability, kind of a generic made-up term for the sake of elections, but there's some truth to it. And, you know, it all sort of pivots to Iran and what we do there and get the Strait of Hormuz taken care of. You know, you're still kind of running to the tape, you said, and I assume this is true for you, as I hear from other candidates out there, that people really are worried about gasoline prices. I think we're fine in Alabama with Republican leadership, but you know, I did like a tour of the upper Midwest. I mean, this is what's driving a lot of the so-called blue wall state type voters toward Democrat Party politics. What do you see? Is there a resolution that can be had before people go vote on November 3rd?
Well, you know, I would love to see us. Obviously, I say this, but we need to land a plane in Iran and get a resolution. You're dealing with, again, you know, these apocalyptic type leaders and even the memorandum of understanding that the president offered a few weeks ago, trying to get some semblance of an agreement. But, you know, for us, and I think affordability, you know, the answer isn't to become dependent on Iran or Venezuela or anybody else. The answer is American energy dominance. And so I think it'll take us some time, but we do have to message on the fact that a lot of the money that was printed during COVID, that printing of dollars, and you and I have talked about this, created a lot of this inflation. And then Biden and his predecessors, his party, they just did everything they could to crush American energy. And so they were trying all these, you know, solar and wind stuff that was not consistent, was not dependable. They were shutting down our pipelines at the Keystone and letting Russia open Nord Stream. And so we were becoming more and more dependent on other countries. I think what we've done in Venezuela will allow us to obviously have oil and energy and those people to benefit from that. But the ultimate solution to affordability is energy here, energy now. And I think the president's working in that direction. Now, whether or not we can get that message and the blue wall, as you call it, across some other parts of the country, if they understand that this is a process, it took 4 years to mess it up with COVID and the printing of money and the runaway spending, and also crippling U.S. energy. I think that if we're able to message on that, I think the future's bright. I talked to an economist a few weeks ago, somebody seemed to be pretty knowledgeable. They said our economy is poised to do great things. we just got to figure out this thing in Iran and get this energy figured out. But I think the Republicans, with the leadership, the way that we're structuring tax reforms, regulatory environment to allow energy to be produced, industry to grow, I think U.S. is in a great position. But whether we can message that, and we're not always the best at messaging, you know that as Republicans, but if we get that message across, I think that President Trump's next 2 years will be quite amazing.
And so that to me is, for Republicans, the message here. Now, we get some good economic data. Some of this, the inflation reports, PPI, it's showing signs that things are easing. But there's still a perception, right? And you know, you don't want to make the mistake the Biden guys made. I'd say, hey, stupid, the economy's great. You need to vote for us. Because people, I don't think really, they're not connecting the dots here for whatever reason. There's just this sense that things need to improve. And, you know, whether or not they get the message through whatever the metric is that is put out of the day, or is it this, that Republicans need to articulate, this is what we're going to do to continue the path to prosperity?
Absolutely. We have to be able to articulate that, and we have to build trust within the voters. I mean, with what we're doing and what we're saying we're accomplishing, and looking at the numbers that we're seeing with Trump's, you know, inflation has been down pretty consistently, especially in his first term before COVID. It went through the roof with Biden, and he's gotten it back under control, even with energy as it is, and even us dealing with those issues. If they can trust us, to continue to trust us, to do what we got to do to get the president's agenda across the finish line, I think the U.S. economy, not only national security, but our economy will be poised. We're seeing a lot of offshore investment into the U.S., and Alabama is so very well poised to benefit. As President Trump talks about the golden age of America, we in Alabama, with the relationships, the investments that are coming to the state, Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan just named Alabama as one of the top five states in the nation to invest in. I think we have to continue to push that, hey, the president's got the plan. We're working the plan. We have the relationships. Our state and our nation will benefit. The American voters need to trust us on that, and hopefully they will. And again, if we articulate it better, that's always good for us, Jeff. And we're not always the best at that. And the media certainly don't help us with messaging.
No, and that's the big hurdle, right? The media.
That's right.
And you know, I think a lot of gasoline prices, they're going to ease come Labor Day when the blend changes. But you're talking about it like we could do so much more domestically. But, you know, still it's that petrodollar, and that the domestic producers that they could sell it to a Far East Asian country, then they could get more for the barrel of oil. They're going to go in that direction. It seems like that there's only so much we could do domestically. Like it does really come down to figuring out the Iran situation.
Yeah, and it takes time too. And of course, the energy markets, obviously the doorways to a huge portion of the world's energy supply is through that Strait and Hormuz. But I think the fact that we're building refineries now, that they'll actually process here in the U.S., we haven't built refineries because of the permitting processes. We've eased the permit. We're making investments in refineries. Obviously, we've got Venezuela. Like I said, they're going to bring some of their – we've had equipment invested from companies from the U.S. for years that were seized by Maduro that are now going back into production. So there are some things, but these things take time. And this – it didn't get broke overnight, obviously. They've been crippling energy for decades. But I think we're fixing it. I hope the American people trust us to see us to do that. But you're right. If we can land the plane in Iran, and 90 days is a long time, things can happen in a day over there. But if we can get this thing fixed in the next 3 months, I think there's a great opportunity. Number one, for us to maintain the House. Certainly the seats in the U.S. Senate that are up for grab, I think we're in a good position there to maintain the Senate. And more than anything, that's why we've got to make sure we send good conservatives to the U.S. Senate. If, in fact, we lose the House, there needs to be a line in the sand in the U.S. Senate to protect the president, to protect America's liberty. And that's one of the reasons I'm running.
And not to belabor it, so you think there's time going forward, and I wonder about this, you know, just talking to these strategists or whatever, that is some of it baked in, maybe perhaps about people's general attitudes about the economy? Or is there, you say 90 days, is that enough time to get enough and getting enough to maintain control of at least one or the two chambers on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, and I think it depends on in the timeline when that happens, right? If it happens in the next 30 days, for sure, I think we're in a good position. If it happens in the last 30 days, it's going to be difficult to move forward. But again, I think the Democratic Party is their own worst enemy and some of the candidates they're putting up for the general elections. And so hopefully the American people will vote for liberty and then continue for us to message on things that we can do to finish the president's agenda and what he's trying to do. I think that there is time. But, Jeff, it is we can't rest on our laurels, obviously, on the U.S. Senate side, but we certainly need to do what we can to help those candidates around the country that are in some tough general elections against the Democrat where there's a district maybe that Trump lost one or two points. Maybe he won one or two points, but the other party has control. Those are the areas we need to target as the Republican Party across the country.
Yeah, and we'll wrap it up on this, just the electoral politics of it and keeping the Senate. I guess, Republicans seem to be, despite the headwinds with the economy, otherwise the structure is there, that there's fundraising. Republicans are at an advantage over Democrats in a lot of ways on this stuff, that and the redistricting is going to help some too. That it's not a worst case wave scenario like in 2006 or something like that.
Right. And honestly, depending on if the environment improves a little, I mean, Georgia could be in play, Michigan, obviously North Carolina, Maine, Ohio, Alaska. There are some Senate seats. There are some areas where I think there's an opportunity to pick up maybe a seat or two in the Senate. But again, you and I talked about this. We got 90 days. It depends on how that environment changes between now and November.
Congressman, you're always very generous with your time. Thanks for hopping on this morning. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you.
Barry Moore, ladies and gentlemen, right now represents the 1st Congressional District here in Alabama, but will soon be or is the Republican nominee for United States Senate on November 3rd. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.